Guys, the brother boy, special guest today, Fred Dorrington. This is Jackie Boy Wilson on the podcast, on the Anchor app. You can find us on Spotify also. Bringing to you the good vibes, the GVC, the Good Vibes Club, a movement that's growing substantially across the nation. We're growing in numbers across the world, actually. It's a mindset, guys. It's our biggest sponsor so far. So here we are. That was an intro by the man himself, Fred Dorrington. We're actually on a street here in Brisbane. Do you want to say hello, Fred? How you doing, bud?
Yeah, good, mate. Yeah, going well. Just here in Brizzy in West End. Had a good feed. The Jackie boy showing him the local spots. King Hiram's. Good Lebanese food, and then on to an insane acai bar for some lush, tasty vegan ice cream.
Oh,
good stuff.
Damn, the boys are on that holistic approach.
Yeah, brother.
It's all happened. It's a part of the Good Vibes Club.
Good Vibes Club. It's about good eating as well, you know. Got to nourish the body, get everything flowing. It's all good.
We're actually, just to give you a bit of context, guys, on what's happening right now, we just pulled up on the side of the road. Fred's bought his didgeridoo. I think this bloke might be Aboriginal. He can play it better than me at the moment. But we pulled on the side of the road, and I wanted to give you guys a little bit of a sneak peek, you know, on the lad's skills. You know, it's something I didn't even know, and that's what it's all about, is bringing people on the podcast, you know, everyday heroes, you know, and sharing that experience with you.
That's it, brother. That's it.
So we've been hanging out all day. Matt done a mad calisthenics session.
That was it. This morning. Yeah, it was good.
We done some stairs.
Stairs, yeah. I've never really done stairs before, so that was a good kick up the butt in the morning, which is good. Got me going.
What about that rain, mate? Tried to stop us.
Yeah. Tried to hold us back, but no, we just pushed through. We just embraced it, you know. Rain's good.
Hey, we looked up to the sky and we just thought, bring it on.
Just cleansed.
Yeah, it was good. It was actually nice weather, so it kept us a bit cool, but then it started to heat up a bit, didn't it?
Yeah, the old humidity came in. That's a bit of a killer, but...
Yeah, you were on the ground foaming from the mouth at one point. I was like, oh, you're right. No, jokes, guys. That was me, actually. He choked me out. No.
Try to get in that climbing.
We're just driving around Brisbane right now, so... You know, we're doing podcasts on the run. As I said, I'm bringing more and more to you guys. You know, getting a few people from the ninja community. And Fred's one of the iconic, you know, veteran ninjas that have been in the game for a fair few years now. How many years have you been?
Yeah.
How many Ninja Warriors? Five, maybe?
Let's go with five.
Yeah, four or five?
Yeah, well, I've been on the UK one a few years ago, first little taste. Came back, did the Aussie one. Came and did season two Australia, and then also did Vietnam, which is airing at the moment. So, and then yeah, watch your space for season three.
Yes.
In the pipelines for Australia. So.
Season three, that's one that's brewing behind the scenes at the moment. Lips are sealed.
Yeah, lips are sealed.
Can't
say
too
much. Yeah.
The mics are on. Mics are on. We can't be talking. We might dig straight into the.
Let's do it.
You know, into the meat.
Did it? Oh,
well, I don't eat meat, so we can't do that.
He's keen there, he's keen. Can't you tell? He's been on 11 months now vegan, and he's craving it.
Oh, mate.
Get off me, mate.
I thought it was vegan sausage.
Mate, it's pure red meat now.
So. I'm not interested.
Oh, go then.
Yeah, left here.
Yeah.
Bloody hell, friend.
Showing him round. He's got this new whip. He's getting about busy. He's doing a good job, though.
Yeah. No, we just come to a red light.
Very rainy weather, so we're doing the sensible thing. We're hands-free. We're talking. We're taking our time.
Yep.
As we learn. me too.
We're hands-free, that's it, mate. Yeah. It's all about...
hands-free. Get the hands back in the steering wheel.
That's it. Yeah, so Fred, mate, tell us a bit about yourself. You know, where you're from, what your background is, mm-hmm. where you were born. Mate, like, just give us the whole rundown.
Yeah, give it to you pretty straight up. So I was born in Lismore, northern New South Wales, little town in from Byron Bay, probably more commonly known that spot. Grew up there till I was about 18.
God's country, eh? They're cool.
Yeah, mate, that's a bloody heaven on earth, that little slice of Aussie.
I heard.
Good stuff down there, super nice place. Very diverse. I used to do a lot of sport when I was growing up. I used to grow up in a lime farm. My dad started doing that. I used to run amok out in the bush, getting around, checking out water holes, helping dad out in the farm, setting up the place and all that. School was good. And used to do a lot of varied sports. So when I started out doing a lot of swimming training and doing competitive swimming for my earlier teen years, which I feel was a really good development step.
Yeah.
Really, really good stuff. Helps with the breathing, gets those shoulders activated and working, which is good. But it was early mornings. You know, I used to get up at 4:30 with my sister. Mum used to drive us into the pool. Half an hour, I'd go and do our hour training session, come home. Half an hour later, we'd get back on the bus and off we go and, you know, back out for a school day. Used to do that.
You must have been a pretty, you know, active little kid. Like, I mean, living on a farm, you did your own motorbikes and, like, I suppose the old boy or the old girl would have got you out, you know, picking limes and all that sort of stuff,
mate. Mate, when we were setting up the farm, I remember the job well, rock picking. Anything bigger than a fist, and we had to pick it up, put it on the tractor's bed, and take it off down the hill just to set up the land for the limes to come in. Just helping out, you know, it's part of being on the farm.
Did you ever get into, like, squeezing your own lime juice and trying to sell that on the...
Yeah, your old, you know, limeade used little... to call it. Yeah,
limeade,
yeah,
eh? Limeade, that's it. Yeah. Hello.
Yeah, mate. It was always good. Pretty funny to...
Making a couple of dollars on the
side. Yeah, see, we used to sell bags. If we picked them, we could sell them down by the road, $2 a bag. Right, people got bargains down there. We used to load them up. That was good.
So yeah. you're a bit of an entrepreneur.
Back in the day. You know,
what happened to you?
Whipping those limes left, right, centre.
Yeah.
Little bags of limes, you know. Keeping everyone honest.
Yep.
Did a lot of baseball when I was younger. 5 years of baseball. Training and... games, and used to play sometimes 3 games a Saturday. Used to play my game, another division, and my dad played for a while. Used to help him out in his games. And my best mate at the time was in his baseball. He played all the same. Did a bit of interstate baseball comps and stuff.
You had a bit of an arm on you, heard.
Yeah.
So that's where all them lemons went over the fucking fence.
Stop throwing them lines, mate.
Brad, get here.
Yeah.
Hitting roofs.
No roofs in your house, mate.
Oh, yeah. How many acre?
16 acres, so a good little spot.
Wow.
Yeah, a couple of dams, quad bike, just to rip that around. Just to tear up the front paddock in the ute.
Any pets?
Yeah, we had a couple of dogs, chickens, geese for a while. We had a lot of geese that used to get about, which was pretty cool. So I thought about getting llamas at one point. But,
hey, true.
Yeah, we used to think if we could ride them around picking the limes. Imagine that. Little saddle.
Really? Little saddles. Little whip or not?
Let's go.
Yeah, so how long did you live out on the farm for?
So we were out there in 96, we moved out, and we, a few things in the family, dad isn't too well at the moment, so we had to sort of give that up about a year and a half, almost 2 years ago. We had to start clearing that out. And we let it go middle of last year and moved on, and I'm now here full time in Brisbane. And my mum's just moved up, and one of my sisters up here, and the other one's back down in Lismore still. Got a new kid on the way, and a 3-year-old at the moment, so...
True. Yeah, so you're an uncle?
Yeah, I'm an uncle.
What's it like being an uncle?
Mate, it's bloody great. I'm the favourite uncle. So there's a few uncles going for it, but I'm the one who's taking it at the moment.
Hey.
Mate, just get down there and have fun with the little fella. He's loving the ninja. He just loves being active and running around. And
He's got a great little role model to look up to, you know. I suppose he'd be seeing Uncle Fred on the TV screens, and that's who he wants to be when he grows up.
He's shouting out, Uncle Fred, on the screen, which is pretty funny. Which is,
That must be a good feeling, mate.
That is. That's pretty special, actually. It's, you know, you see it, if a kid who's 3 years old can see that on the screen and puts that in their little mind, you know, good things to come for.
Yeah, mate. I can relate to that. There's nothing more rewarding or satisfying, you know.
That's it. See the work you're doing getting around these schools. Incredible.
Mate, you're joining me one day. You already are.
Yeah.
But, you know, we're gonna get out and hopefully the ninja community grows, which it is. Yeah. You know, and we're just going to keep moving forward and recruiting more.
That's it.
More to the ninja community and to the GBC. Yeah, baby. So how old are you, Fred?
So I'm 29. 30 mid next year. So, yeah. People get a bit wary of the old 30.
Oh, the dirty 30s, I heard.
Yeah. It's going to be cool. Go left.
Oh,
next one.
Oh, come on, bro.
You don't go to that one.
Let's just go for a little drive around.
So
you live in Brizzy?
Yeah, living in Brizzy. Down here full time. Been spending a lot of time down in Melbourne. I actually work for a climbing company, climbing business. Work in maintenance and did my trade as a carpenter for 5 years. So 6.5 years ago, I went to England for 1 year. My dad's English. So I've got a bit of connections over there.
You got a dual citizenship as
well? Yeah, that's it. Got the passport, so it makes it easy. And I went there for 1 year to do a boat building trade. And, ended up falling pretty well into it and really enjoyed it and always been pretty handy and all that. So stuck with it 5 years later.
So you're a carpenter?
Carpenter, boat builder by
trade.
But
you said a bit earlier that you're a niche carpenter. So explain a bit about that.
Yeah, so the niche bit is boat building. So my trade is a level 3 marine engineer in timber boat building construction. So that is the certificate or level I've got.
How many years?
And so I did 5 years. And, you know, the more you do, obviously the better you get and the more you understand, work on different vessels and things like that. But me being a carpenter, true to myself, wanted to stick to the carpentry, which is really good. The level of skill you get from doing boat building is really quite special. You work with a lot of different materials. You're not just doing timber, you're doing a lot of like laminates and glues and how steel and activation in water and, you know, passivating metals and all this sort of stuff. So that's get a bit complex, but you understand the basics, the principles of it. And
did you, before you, just obviously, you know, you want to be a carpenter, but was the description of the job that you went for, was it like it's a boat, you know, a boat builder, boat company, or did you think you were going to be building houses?
No, I knew I was going over to do boat building, and what happened was a few years earlier.
So did you love to sail, or
what? No, never been a sailor, never even, you know, I've been in a couple of boats, you know, ferries and whatnot, and a couple of mates, tinnies and stuff like that, out fishing, but never actually liked a lot of sailing yachts and things.
A couple of canoes or something.
Yeah,
like,
you know, a dinghy in the pond down the farm, but. Yeah, got offered the job from a friend of my dad's, and a few years earlier, I went and actually built the facility that they actually now. It's a charity organization where they teach young apprentices lads and kids and that how to be more employable, get them a trade, and get them back out there in the world. You know, someone who's maybe on welfare or their parents haven't had a good upbringing, their education's a bit poor. We give them an education, get them on a trade, get them on the straight and narrow, and off they go. So.
Giving people opportunities.
Exactly, working with them. And, you know, those people who come in, they'd be super skilled and their background is pretty good already. You know, they've got good family, they're going to be employed later on in life, so that's fine. So we wouldn't take them. We'd take the ones who were troubled. That was difficult. Exactly, yeah. And that was the whole point of it. That's the reason we would get funding to do this charity work. If we just had people who were easy and just wanted to build some boats, it wouldn't work, you know. So, and that was really came through from Rupert, the head trustee who started it all. Yeah.
Wow. So it was more than just a trade. It was.
Yeah.
It was more entailed there.
Yeah, definitely.
More values, you know, morals and beliefs. Yeah. Like that's. I think that's amazing because that's what you're striving for. It's not just a job.
Yep.
You know, you're actually getting people through a trade. You're giving people opportunities.
Yeah.
And that they potentially could never have, I suppose.
Yep. Yeah. Exactly. And to see people move on and be employed somewhere else. So quite a few of them end up working in other boatyards and sticking to their own training and their own
self-belief
and confidence.
In what country?
So that was in England.
In England.
Yeah, so we're in the
And you got family over there?
Yeah, so I've got my whole dad's side of is British, so you know, had the old family catch up out there, but I was quite in a different area to where
they close were. With them as well?
Well, I never grew up with them, you know, so didn't have that close, you know, a lot of growing up in high school, I was, you know, my friends would go off to their cousins for holidays.
So you're still trying, to get to know them.
Yeah, and I went over there, and it was just kind of more like, you know, friend to friend type connections, you know, because you don't have that connection. Well, I didn't have that connection when I didn't grow up with them, so.
Yeah, well, I got family over in Wales, on my mum's side.
Yeah, your mum's Welsh,
but I've never met them, you know what I mean? So. Yep. Be the same thing if I went over there. I'd love to meet them, but you know, that's a goal of mine. But
yeah, definitely, it's good to do it. Keep those connections, mate.
Hopefully, I can potentially get a. Can I get a Welsh citizenship?
Yeah, you could. Yeah, you could get Welsh passport.
Hang on. So who's got to be born there?
So my dad was born in Britain, so that's how I got my passport. But I think the laws have changed, so maybe you're liable.
But my mum wasn't born there, so but my nana.
So maybe that's a condition, maybe it's changed. Now, there's all this stuff with Brexit and leaving the EU, I'm not sure if that affects it, but in terms of actually being in the UK, maybe it's a go.
Something to look at, so you've been travelling a bit, you know, we're here in Brisbane. We might take it back, we're just jumping the gun a bit, we'll take it back to when you were a young fella. What did you want to be when you grew up? Like, I mean, you've grown up. I suppose, did you have any goals and dreams as a young fellow that you wanted to be? Like, did you have anything, you know, in your teenage years or your primary school years and you thought, oh, I want to be, that's what I want to be? Did you have any?
Yeah, so we actually got to write this down when we were year seven. When we left high school, we got our little notes back. And I was so in the thick of baseball at the time. I wanted to be a professional baseball player. Baseball was my life.
Wow.
I used to watch all the games, get them in from America, sussing them out, checking it out. Yeah, I'd love to do that. I've got to keep working. I trained, stayed focused. I'd be at home pitching the baseball into the net, all this.
Yeah.
Games with my mates and stuff. And
so is baseball big where you grew up? Was it
Lismore actually has the biggest baseball stadium on the North Coast. And I think it's on the East Coast even. Albert Park in Lismore, random, but it's got the Australian team plays there quite a bit. It's a really great area. Lismore's many, really good for sport. A lot of sporting grounds, really good doubles.
Many athletes come out of Lismore for Australia in baseball. What are we like on the map there?
Not that I know of now. I mean, once I moved through my teens, I ended up. I used to play all sorts. You know, I ended up doing cricket in the off season, cricket different to baseball in the year. And ended up doing a few other different sports. Golf was a key one.
We got to go and have a hit soon.
Yeah, let's go for a whack. Yeah, good. I sort of drifted out of baseball when I got to my later years in high school, that classic thing, you know. I wanted to make sure I did well in school, just make sure that I could. I wanted to sort of get interested in all engineering and everything and science and sort of move to that. And I still kept active, but kind of once I got to...
Are you still swimming now?
I was still doing all the swimming carnivals, managed to get age champion in all the years in high school.
Representing, going into interstate and whatnot?
I only did interstate when I was in the training squads. So that was up to when I was about, I think it was 15 or so. And then literally just went through to high school. And it actually dropped off sport when I think about it, yeah.
You dropped off sport in high school.
And ended up doing more just social stuff. You know, that point in life, you know, I wanted to spend my time hanging out with my mates and still did cricket up until I think I was 17. Hanging out with mates on the weekends rather than doing sports. But, still staying active, getting out, checking out water holes and going and, you know, playing golf and all that sort of stuff, which is still good. But, wanted to be a baseball player and just that was life, you know. Yeah. And now it's totally different.
Yeah, well,
and then when I went to uni, I thought, actually, I don't really want to be an engineer who's going to sit in an office all day. I didn't end up finishing my university studies, and that was something I was actually quite proud when I went back to my high school to give a presentation. I ended up doing a keynote speaker sports award assembly.
Just recently?
Giving out the awards. This was end of last year.
Yeah.
Went in and did the whole thing, presentation back in the main hall of my old high school. It was very weird to be out of school 10 years later, given out. I was not one of the top sports people. I did my swimming.
Yeah.
I wasn't one of the jockey guys who was out in the doing the rugby and all the classic sports, you know.
And here you were,
and here I
bloody
am,
doing a keynote speech for an awards night, being on national TV, swinging across everyone's television.
Yeah, man, it's pretty nuts.
Did you do it? Did you play a bit of the?
Yeah, I played my season one runs. And yeah, everyone was just, you couldn't believe it. Some of the old teachers that touched base with me, my old woodwork teacher, now being a qualified boat builder and everything, was showing him all the things I've been doing, and it's just an incredible experience, and I'm due to go back and do it again, which would be great. And
were you a rat bag at school?
No, I wasn't really a rat bag, to be honest.
Yeah.
I was a bit of a straight shooter in school. Stuck to my
in the good books.
Yeah, well, yeah, you know, have the odd days here and there, and
everyone
does. But yeah, just knuckled down. Whenever I've got stuck into something, I've got a goal in mind, and I'm just going to do the best I can. And for me in school, it was getting the best grades I could. You know, got to stay fit and healthy in the mind.
So
as
the
well,
engineering and whatnot, did that end up? Did you pursue that?
So the engineering was what I was most tailored. The classic, you know, what is going to be the most suitable thing for I go to uni, and it was engineering because I did science and maths and all that stuff, and really liked that. Got a year and a half done. Couldn't do it. Didn't want to sit inside. I was too, you know, I thought I was going to be in a workshop building stuff, making stuff, what I do now. And I was stuck there writing essays and assignments and working out
theories. That wasn't you.
That wasn't me.
Did you get up and just reevaluate the situation and go, I can't do this?
Exactly. I did. I left. I went and took a year out. Went and did a ski season in France. Worked in England for a bit. Came back. Nutted out another year of engineering. And was like, nah, I can't do this anymore. It's just not me. And I went off for again. This is then when I went off to do the boat building for 1 year, and then was there for 5 years. And that was it. Never looked back.
Right.
Well, people say, are you going to go back and do it? I say, well, no.
Mate, I can relate to that. I mean, I left school when I was 15 and got straight into the working force. I just wasn't a, you know, an academics kid. Like, I just didn't. Mm. Just didn't, you know, I just loved the sports. That was more me, hands-on sort of vibes.
Yep.
So I left school and I got straight into it. And we were always, you know, punched into getting a trade. I was like, sweet, didn't really think about what trade I wanted, so I jumped into a boilermaking trade, done that for a year. And one day, like, we just go for the same shed each day. Like, same shed. And I was an outdoorsy kid.
Mm.
So I done that for a whole year, welding, and you know, it was very hot. Same location, sort of just felt monotonous, you know. I just wasn't feeling it. So one day I just got up and I was like, I can't do this anymore, and left.
And I can
understand what you mean.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, if your heart's not in it, if you're not feeling it, why stay there? You know, in anything you're doing, if you're in that space where you're not enjoying it, you're not feeling it's getting you to anywhere you want to be, or you're not progressing,
you can change.
What's the point?
Yeah, you can change.
Yeah.
And
we're in this world now where you don't have people who are in a career for 40, 50 years, you know. People change their jobs every weekend, some people.
And like I've spoken to a lot of people before, they've been stuck in jobs. Some are still stuck in jobs and they think they can't leave, but they're literally in a jail cell, you know. If they're not enjoying it, then all it takes is just to make a decision. You know, like, just as easy as making a decision. You know, and then it could free you like a bird.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's how I like to say. And you know, a lot of people can listen to this conversation, potentially do the same thing.
Yeah, you know, you've got that option to, you know, you make your own choices. You know, but you got to live with those consequences as well. But if you know, if you want to make a difference, you're the one to do it. Yeah. You can have help and support, but if you're not going to take that plunge yourself,
communication as well, speaking out, having a yarn about it, talking. People don't know if you don't talk as well. How are people going to hear you if you don't talk? But so now, boat building, and you're a qualified boat builder.
Yep.
You've been doing it for 5 years now.
Yep.
You know, when did you start climbing? That was, you know, because you're this bloke that loves baseball. You know, you're from a lime farm. You know, grew up in Lismore, and you're one of the, you know, most well-known ninjas. You know, on the show at the moment, iconic ninjas, you know, wearing the green and gold in the first season, mate. Like, you know, let's lead into a bit of ninja talk now.
Yeah, so jumping back slightly to climbing, so that happened when, in my last little attempt with uni, 2011, I got into climbing at the local uni uni club down here at KP where we were this morning.
Yeah, yeah.
Catching out the cliffs. And yeah, just really clicked with it, really liked it. I was always keeping my fitness at bay with doing a bit of weights or doing a bit of running, staying pretty active, you know, doing all that sort of basic stuff. As soon as I grabbed climbing, I just took off. Me and my mate at the time, we were both on the same level. We just went climbing all the time, and that was really key. Having that partner, someone else who's there, keep you accountable, keep you pushing, and just keeps you going, you know. And we got all the gear, and we just kept climbing. I ended up climbing about 5 times a week, I reckon. Anyone who's up for it, I was a,
you were just down
a
bit for it. You were there with Balzer.
I was a climbing hall, mate. I was there ready to go.
Mate, I think I know where you get this climbing from, mate. It's climbing all them lime trees, wasn't it?
God, getting those limes down. Come on, get on
again. Hey, you've been a ninja warrior from way back.
Been preparing, you know, toughening up the skin with all those lime oils, you know, all that citrus. So I went through a lot of climbing. Then when I went to England, I really didn't do much climbing at all, but it was always there. Built a bouldering wall and shed out in England. And
you built one yourself,
because I had to get training and had to keep going.
So what was the feeling that you got if you loved it that much and, you know, you're climbing 5 to 6, 7 days a week? You know, let's think about the hours you're putting in and, you know, the effect it's putting on your body. I know how sore you get from climbing, the tendons, the fingers, like, what was it that was lighting that fire?
Yeah, for me, it was a twofold thing. First, it was a challenge. So it was something I'd never done before, and whenever I take on something, I always want to give it the best I can and just keep going. And climbing,
with everything you've done.
Yeah, everything I'm doing, I'm always trying to just, how can I do this the best way possible? Whether it's efficient or quicker or high quality or whatever.
Mm.
How can I get that, harness that optimum
level?
Yeah. And climbing, there is no top. There is no finish. You can just keep getting better, stronger, pushing, getting grades. You know, you climb it to your first 18. Great. There's a couple of 19s going to try them, you get a 19, you get a 20, and it just keeps going, never ending, you know.
Yeah.
The people who climb the top grades in the world, climbing like equivalent to 38, 30 was impossible 15 years ago. No one ever, you can't do a 30, it's impossible. But just people just keep bettering,
people,
you know.
People
like run the 100 meter sprint, it's always going to be a little trim it, you know. And then, you know, under 10 was impossible 20 years ago, wasn't it?
Well, that's it.
So for me, it was that challenge.
4 minute mile as well was impossible. One point in life, but they said that if you were to run a 4 minute mile, your heart would burst out of your chest and you'd pretty much die. And then before you know it, one bloke's broken it, and then next thing, another one.
Yeah.
Next thing, another one. So
we call that the send train in climbing. You get on the send. You know, if you send to climb, you've got it. You go to the top. Once someone gets it, it goes. You know. And other people come in and they start doing
it's contagious.
Zen train, it just keeps going.
Zen train.
Yeah.
All, so is that like, train. Is that, let me get this right, is the send train mean like send it?
Yeah, so when you get an ascend, when you ascend a climb means you've climbed to the top. If you get the send, we call it, we've shortened it, that means you've climbed it how it should have been climbed and you got it in one go.
Nice.
So if you're doing bouldering up 4 meters, you get that boulder, you've got the send, you ascend it. And then once one person gets on that train, quick to follow. That's it. And that was it for me. It was the challenge, you know. It just keeps me pushing, and that's I'm still got big goals in climbing and grades I want to hit.
Yeah.
I want to get 30 by 30, which is that's gonna be tight.
Is that a big call?
It's too big of a call, I think. I don't.
So
you
can't call it right now.
I won't call it right now.
You can't.
I want to get 28 by the end of next year.
What are you now?
So I'm 29 now. So I've got 30 will be next May, but if I stretch it out a bit, stretch the truth, I've got another year, just under a year before I'm 31. You know, I'll still be 30. If I get 30 in my 30s, that's a year and a half's more work. It's possible.
So that's
my goal.
When that time comes around, we'll see where you're at, and then go back to the drawing board and we'll check in.
Keep me accountable with this.
That's
it.
We've got people listening in that we can keep accountable.
And to be honest, the second element of it, was I was doing uni at the time and I didn't want to do it. I didn't want to go to uni and I knew I didn't want to do it. So that I latched right into climbing.
That was your stress relief.
That's
where they got the endorphins pumping.
That was my heaven. That was it.
That was your passion.
Yeah.
Started to become a passion.
Totally.
Yeah.
And I think that's one of the key things that I've learned is I really push myself when I'm enjoying it.
And I mean, like, what was it that even, I suppose, drew you to rock climbing? Like, did you ever know about rock climbing growing up? Or, I mean, what was it like? Was it just out of a comfort zone thing? Or?
Yeah, I'd been a couple of trips to the local climbing gym, and I was like, oh, this is pretty fun. This is pretty cool. Kind of, it's a bit sort of puzzle in a way, you know, kind of that engineering, the clock's ticking in my head, how to work out a climb, how to do it, again, that efficiency in it, it kind of tricks you a little bit, and you might get something and find it difficult, and then you do it another way, and it's easy, and then you go, wow, how did that work, and that was better, and so that kind of really helped the way that I think, you know, I process things,
yeah.
So that sort of, it fed that part of my mind, so, I think it was just that, the classic
community.
Community, climbing community is so good. It's growing rapidly, but you know, back in the day, I've still got the best mates that I started climbing with, you know. And then I went away for 5 years, and I touched base when I came back here in Oz, and here I am working for the same gym that I first started climbing in several years ago, and you know,
like picked up from where you left off, really.
Yeah. Those people are, you know, you hang out with those people. The people you really connect with on another level, and you know, you're always going to be mates.
See, yeah, I think that's the main thing, man, is finding a sport that you love, or, you know, it doesn't have to be sport, it can be anything in life, really, and stick with those people, and if it's making you feel better, you know, just work together, build together, grow together, encourage each other.
Yep.
You just mentioned the gym you're working at now, so let's talk a little bit about that, and what your role is there as well, because you were telling me, you know, the bouldering gym, and you're travelling from here to Melbourne. And
Yeah, so I work for Urban Climb here in Brisbane. They've got 3 gyms. They started one about 15 years ago, and about 3 years ago they opened 2 new bouldering gyms, and that was mind-blowing. Like, how are you going to run bouldering gyms? It's not a thing. And now in Australia, in the last few years, there's about 20 bouldering gyms, so it's really taken off.
Wow. Yeah.
It's a great sport. A lot of people come into it. Very diverse. You know, you can be any level of fitness. You can just come in and climb anything.
Yeah.
Give it a go. You find your level. And as I say, you know, everyone just excels at their own little level. And you just keep.
You must get a whole diverse range of people getting through there.
Definitely do. Yeah.
And that's what we want to encourage. You just mentioned all fitness levels.
Yeah, and that's
anyone,
what...
Anyone, it's for anybody, right?
Definitely, anybody. My mum came in, she's 65 this year.
Oh.
She came in, she didn't give the actual climbing a full go, but she came up, got onto the crash mats, and has given it a try, and like she's got one fake knee and arthritis, but she's keen to give it a go, and when she's settled up here in Brizzy, she's going to be getting her in there.
Yeah, no excuses, eh? Like... So everyone at home, get your parents down to the bouldering gym.
Get them down there.
You know,
get amongst it.
Give
it a try. What do you got to lose, you know?
Yeah, yeah. They don't have to start climbing like Fred Dorrington, but, you know, just get them in that environment. Get them check it out. So, project manager?
So I'm facilities manager, basically looking after all the maintenance, trying to keep my head above water in all that department. But it's then looking at the new venues, updating the old venues, anything that, you know, could be anywhere from a broken light bulb to opening a new space and deciding what features we want to have in that new gym. So,
Unreal. And
everything in between. So applying the carpentry skills, renovations and repairs and all that stuff as well. And we've got big things coming with Urban, and just watch the space.
It's growing.
It's growing. So, there's a lot of other places as well that are opening up, which is cool.
Yeah,
really good.
Get down there, guys.
Olympics,
I mean,
coming up. You know,
yeah, it's becoming
big.
A professional sport.
Yep.
Great community. Get down there if you're in the Brisbane region, Gold Coast region, South Queensland. Check it out.
What's
the address?
We've got the West End branch is 220 Montague Road. We got one at Milton, which is 17 Roy Street, and we got one in Newstead, which is 5 Moore Street. So if you remember all the places.
There you go.
I think what's key is what you're saying before, is a community.
Yeah.
And that really transcends into this ninja community. And we were saying just before we have a little feed that the ninja community is full of people who are really motivated, really, you know, pushed to want to improve and better themselves, and you know, know, stay fit and healthy and get active and just have give things a go, you know. And that's a really special community to be a part of. So if you're ever wanting to get into it, it just takes that decision. I'm going to go check it out. I'm going to go check out a ninja gym.
Mate, you know? Everyone's so welcoming. Everyone I've met is just, you know, like they're like family now, I suppose. Mm. Everyone's friendly. There's no egos. There's no egos here, guys. Like, this movement is real. This is unbelievable.
Sport Network's crazy. If someone falls off an obstacle, like, oh, that was awesome. You gave your best. Get back up there.
The encouragement's phenomenal. And that's the sort of environment we need to be in. You know, positive mindsets, encouragement. A lot of people are trapped around surroundings of humans that are, you know, negative, depressing. You know, and that can bring your spirit down. It can kill your spirit.
Yeah.
So these people is what we love to hang around. Yeah. We like to involve ourselves, you know, with, you know, like-minded individuals that want to strive for greatness. And that's why I've got Fred in this car having this podcast, because this dude is, you know, a great man, good vibes. We click straight away. And
thanks, Shaggy boy. You too, mate.
I think we might talk a little bit about the Ninja Warrior Season 1. 2016.
Yeah, well, we filmed 2016.
We filmed 2016.
Last year.
Yeah, went out last year, and you know, you stood up to the podium with the iconic green and gold, you know, green shorts, gold shirt with the kangaroo on the front, mate. You
look. It couldn't be much more Aussie unless I had the didgeridoo with me.
Mate, well, you played it at the start of this.
It is.
Mate, like. To be honest with you, I didn't know you from Bar of Soap. I can vaguely remember, you know, saying hi to you, you know, and we actually reached the grand final together, which was amazing to think about.
Incredible.
You didn't
getting
look
goosebumps
like yeah, about. Mate. Yeah. just looking at you, mate, you just look like an average bloke.
I am.
And you are an average bloke.
We're all a bit average, you know. We're just doing what we can, you know.
Yeah, and you stood on the podium, and your name's Just Fred, you know, Just Fred. Fred. What? Give us a rundown on that.
So yeah, Just Fred. It started as a bit of a joke. In season one, I had the green and gold, but my sister, she's a bit of an artist. She printed up some shirts that said Just Fred, and it was a joke about. I always used to get asked, "Am I Frederick, Freddie, Wilfred, Alfred?" I was like, "No, Just Fred." I'm just Fred, and it just kept
just
going
Fred.
On and on. Right, that's enough now. It's just Fred.
What, Freddy?
Yeah, Freddy.
Freddy Krueger? And, Freddy vs. Jason?
Freddy Mercury? He had a little tash on it. Freddy Mercury? And yeah, so I really like
that. No. I just keep going on.
Imagine
on.
It. You going on?
I'm trying to think. I can't think of any more.
Pretty good junior?
Pretty good fingered? I knew it was there somewhere. Remember that movie?
Yeah.
Oh, it's happening right now.
Get out of there. So Just Fred so it was a bit of that joke, but then really what it boiled down to, the meaning behind that was, I'm just an everyday person, you know. I've gone to uni and I've done this stuff and I've given up on that thing and I've followed my dream to do other stuff, and you know, I go grocery shopping, you know, I have up days, up down days.
Yep. Mate, you wake up in the morning, you stub your toe on the kitchen bench, you gotta go brush your teeth.
Yeah, it's it.
You gotta change your bloody jocks.
Yep.
You know, you gotta
all this stuff.
You gotta go to work.
Yeah. Who doesn't? You know, we've all gotta do these things, and that, you know, we're all unique in our own way. And as you were saying, you know, I was a bit of an underdog coming into season one, or you know, I've been on the UK one. But you know, I'm not like stereotypical big bulky guy, you know, who's, you know, ripped and got abs and everything. You know, I'm just doing my bit. I'm doing what works for me. I know myself. I know what I've got to give. And that's the Just Fred. That's, you know, everyone's unique. Find your own level. Do what you can. You don't have to idolize people who are out of your range of what you think you might be able to achieve. Just do you, do the best you can do. Just Fred, you know, whoever you are listening to this, you know, just find your level, and that's what's important.
Yeah, and be yourself.
Yeah, be yourself. Just be true to yourself and do what you can. So, yeah, Just Fred, that was it. And, yeah, I was very proud to wear that, and a lot of people have been asking for it, and, yeah, it's good.
Yeah, I might just drop back to that be yourself quote there. Olivia Vivian is a big advocate for this, and her slogan is...
Live true, be you.
Live true,
so
be you.
So live being short for Olivia, and that is it. It's just be true to yourself.
Mate, and that's... no one has ever said truer words, mate, and I love that. And I think
there was something you said the other day.
It was in the fucking other one. It was
be yourself because everyone's taken.
Be yourself because everyone's taken. That's it. Right.
Sorry to cut you off there.
No, all good. Yeah, a lot of people tend to get caught up in the rat race and in the social media and in the statuses and friends groups, and they start to lose track of who they really are and their self awareness. Mm. They start to try and front this persona that is not them.
Yeah.
That won't take you far. No. And that's not going to lead you to being happy, spiritually.
No.
So that's something that we need to take control of, guys, is understanding who you are, surrounding yourself with the right people. But yeah, so Just Fred, mate, what were your thoughts when you first stood on that podium, season one?
Yeah, so what, running the course or?
Yeah, running the course.
Yeah, mate. I done the UK one.
What was going through your head?
A little bit of a little bit of preparation, you know, what was to expect. But the Australian one just blew it out of the water. You know, the caliber of people that were there, the courses are harder. Everything was just like, wow. I can forget the UK one. You know, I have another. That was crazy. It was good to just finally do it on home ground and have some real family support and friends close by to see me through. And I just kept, again, I take it one obstacle at a time. I just run it as I can and do my best. And, really stay sharp and focused in the moment, I find is really key.
Yeah.
You know, you can be thinking about the warp ball at the end of the course, but, you know, you've got six obstacles ahead of you, and you've got to pay attention all the way. One quick little slip and you're off. So, yeah, it was good to just keep going. And every course, every buzzer I was hitting,
Did you hit a buzzer in the heat?
I hit buzzer, semi, fine. Yeah, all of them in season one, other than the course it fell off on. And
how'd it feel when you hit that buzzer? Oh,
mate, it's incredible. It's like a culmination in this release of and like validation of like, yes, I have seen myself to this point and I can keep going, you know? It keeps that, it's like hitting the snooze button, you know. I know you don't like hitting the snooze button, but in the course it's almost like it keeps that dream alive. You keep going. If you don't get that buzzer, there's uncertainty and you're not sure if you're going through.
Yeah.
Buzzer, it's here I go.
Mate, it's locked in.
Yeah.
Lock it in, Eddie.
Yeah.
Lock it in, Freddie. Mate.
Let's go.
Did you go in there with a purpose? Did you go on the Ninja Warrior with a purpose, with a message? What was your soul, you know, telling you when you went on? Did you want to do it just for personal goals or?
At that time, I was doing it for myself. I was coming back from when I did it in England. I was just gave it a go on my own, and it was kind of more, oh, let's just give this a bash, and no one was there to support me. I made some good friends on the course. But when I came to Australia, I had a bit of family support. So I was trying to do it for them to say, look, this is what I did in England. Let's try and back it up. And sure enough, I did. That was probably the best thing ever for me, was backing up what I'd previously done on what I felt was a much harder sort of set of circumstances. And I went in for myself, but it's changed since then. It's people who are looking at me when I'm going around comps and doing all these different things, and I have up and downs when I'm on the courses and going around local comps and training and whatnot, but I'm always just doing my best. And if I fall off, I'm you know, encouraging other people, and I've had a lot of people support me and say, look, you're doing the right things, you're out here on the course and you're giving your best, and what else can we ask? You know, we can only ask ourselves that. We've got to give ourselves a break at times, and we've got to push ourselves as well. So find that balance.
And there's something that's better than best. You know what that is?
Lay on me.
It's better.
Better.
It's better. But, you know, we can always do our best, but we can always be better.
Yep.
So we'll always strive for that, won't we?
Yep.
Yeah, and doing the comps, training with other ninjas, that's something else that's been, you know, keeping us on our toes.
Yeah.
People are out there grinding, man.
Yeah, that's it.
People are out there, you know, they're putting in blood, sweat, and tears, bro. Like,
that's it. And something that I've been culminating in the last 6 months is accountability. I've been saying it, and I'm saying to myself a lot. And it's, for me, I work well to strict goals and pushing myself and setting things beyond what I expect that I'll be able to achieve, and just push to get to there. And however I go, that's where I'm at. But I like accountability. You know, you've got to have purpose. You've got to try and push to something, right?
Well, when you want to hit that snooze button, or when you want to give up, you got to go back to, hang on, what are my values?
Mm.
What am I doing this for? You know, it more turns into heart. You know, what you want in life, and that's when you start to keep pushing further and further. Because if you don't have that vision or that belief, you'll always give up.
Mm.
And you'll stop.
Yeah.
You know, so you got to sort of search for it. You got to, you know, think about it. You got to have a conversation with yourself. You got to look in the mirror.
Yeah.
You know, you got to talk to yourself and think, what am I here for? What are my morals? What's moving me forward?
Mm.
So, you know, and that's what we try, and that's what me and you are on this quest to do, man, is mm-hmm. inspire others through what we love.
Yep.
You know, which is movement.
And getting people involved themselves. You know, this GVC, this movement that's happening, it's coming, and it's already here, you know. It's getting bigger, and that's people taking it upon themselves to be a part of it.
No one's forcing them. It's just a mindset, isn't it?
Yeah.
And everyone wants to be happy, eh?
Yep.
So, further as fastest ninja. In the first Ninja Warrior season one, Freddie Dorrington right here, furthest, fastest. They made the course nearly impossible. I don't think it was possible. Do you think it was?
I don't think it was with that time limit. No, I'll say. But hey ho, they told us it could be done, so that's what we believed. And when we were in that little tunnel,
tunnel.
You got your little phone out, and we started playing some beats and. But the vibes.
It was surreal, mate. It was surreal.
GVC coming through there.
That Good Vibes Club was just erupting at that point in time. I remember looking at watching the course and the testing, and it was just blowing a gale and it was pissing down rain.
The rain, they couldn't demo the obstacles, mate.
Every stuntman and tester testing the course were falling off, and we were standing around with umbrellas looking at each other's going, insane. But mate, it's been two seasons since then. You know, how'd you go in season two, just briefly?
Yeah, season two, I did pretty well. I made it through to stage two finals again. It went uncompleted, that one again. I'll go onto the Salmon Ladder on Sable Ridge, which knocked me out in season one, so I was a bit gutted it took me out again, but I was up there with the best of them and came sixth in that series. So yeah, I had a broken wrist injury 6 months earlier and wasn't training and climbing very well, and managed to put it together on the course and
a bit of
change my focus and whatnot, but that's it, hey. We just you know, play with the cards that have been dealt and we keep going, you know.
It's still unconquered as well.
That's it. It's still there. Let's see what happens in season three and
So, I suppose, you know, we've gotten to this point now. We are running out a bit of a time, and you've got to go to work tonight.
We've got a night shift coming up in about 20 minutes.
What have we got, about 5 minutes?
Ooh, maybe a few, yeah.
A few minutes, yeah.
Something, if you let me send a text, then we might have a little bit of time.
Yeah, make
you
sense
start
text.
Driving, we'll keep talking, though.
I mean, you've gotten to season two Ninja Warrior. You know, you're living in Brisbane. You're working at one of the biggest bowling gyms at the moment, and it's growing. We're encouraging people to get down. I mean, what's next for you? Like, what's your visions and goals now? You know, obviously, Mamadori Arm is one of them. We want to see you get there. But, you know, where's Fred going now? Where's just Fred, you know, leading the community? And where's he going?
Yeah, so Mamadori Arm is that goal on the course. But, yeah, there's bigger things than that course, you know. And that's the important thing to remember. Go left here. And what I want to do is get around and do a bit more public speaking. It's something I was never really that good at. I was always quite shy in school, but I've done a couple of talks at some schools, which is pretty cool. And it's, you know, you can see that purpose and that goal, you know, for young kids, you know, and what they want to do. And
well, you're an influencer now, man. You've got influence. You've made impact. You've got a necessity. You know, you've got a responsibility. You know, to get into these schools, share your knowledge, share your advice. You know, you got the power, brother.
That's it. Yep. And seeing yourself getting out there and doing that, and pretty much making that your life, it comes very natural, and it is just very important. We need to be doing that. Yes. If you just keep going, it's exactly right. And that's what's important. So I want to be spending a bit more time doing that. I mean, I've got a lot of goals with Urban Climb because I really feel climbing is such an awesome thing for people to get into, that if we can put up more gyms and have really good facilities that help people to get out there, that to me is sort of satisfying other people's desires as well.
You know? Yeah.
So I'm keen to do what I can in that regard, but more long term, would like to end up just doing a bit more social work. Yeah, like I did with the apprentices, you know, helping out those young apprentices getting jobs and whatnot.
Yeah, yeah.
It's so rewarding.
Unbelievable.
And it's just important for those people.
Yeah, and mate, like, I'm more than happy to get you in to some of the schools I'm doing. I potentially feel like we'll have a in the future to come, you know, we're going to have a group of us ninjas traveling the nation, doing what we love for a quid, mate.
Yeah,
You know, creating more little ninjas along the way.
Some flights and we'll just come and do it for fun, you know. Get us about whatever.
Build some obstacle course and get some kids starting young.
Yeah, that's it. You know, and we're all so, so lucky and grateful that Ninja has come about in the way that it has. It's become this thing which has the power to help people, you know. It gives them a bit of purpose. Mate, a bit of fun along the way, you know. It's like, it's a hobby.
We're like superheroes to kids, mate. Yeah. You know, it's like, I remember growing up, I wanted to be a football player because I used to watch football all the time.
Yeah.
And now I feel like, you know, we're like the superheroes for the kids. They want to be, you know, a ninja warrior, you know. That's, we're going to grow up and be a ninja, so we need to teach them.
That's it, man.
And we're going to be happy to do that.
Yep. Yeah. No, those kids today, we were doing our little workout and
they
were looking over and what's going on over there?
Yeah, they were just sussing us out.
Pull-ups and all that.
Doing a few little knee raises, getting the core working, so hanging around on the monkey bars. But, anyways, Freddie, we might shut it down, mate. You've got to go do night shift and we've just had some dinner and it was good to catch up with you today, brother. You know, it's good getting to know you, you know, more than Ninja Warrior and getting to know your life.
That's it.
Getting to share your story and, you know, letting the people know in detail, you know, how you come about. And that's what it's all about, is getting average people that have a passion.
Yep.
Letting them know how they got there and a bit of their backstory, because everybody that's, you know, made their mark in any sports or anywhere in life, everyone has a story.
Yeah.
And I believe it's relevant to hear that, so other people can relate to it and other people can aspire to it.
And another one of yours, it's not about the glory, it's about the story.
It's about the story, mate.
It is about the story. It is.
And that's because that's who you become, mate.
It is life.
There's all steps.
Yep.
It's one foot in front of the other.
Yep.
To get there, so.
Oh, well, honestly, thank you for the opportunity. It's been great. What a great day. Started it well. We got out there. We got active. And we just saw the day through. Rode those endorphins all the way through the day. We've just wrapped up with a lovely meal and a lovely chat.
Mate. And where can people find you? Okay, what's your Instagram handle?
So my Instagram handle is fred.dorrington. And, you can hit me up through that. And, I'm always keen to have a chat and helping people out through that.
Unbelievable. Well, here, brother, bring it in. Thank you very much. Okay, guys, there it is, Fred Dorrington here in the Brisbane city.
if you want to find him, fred.dorrington on Instagram. He's uploading some crazy shit up there, jumping around like a ninja, doing some climbing. Go check him out at the bouldering gyms.
That's it.
He'd be more than happy to say hello and, you know, teach you a few things, potentially coach you to becoming a ninja warrior yourself. Bringing people, average people, onto the podcast. If you want to jump on board and share your story to inspire other people, I'd be more than happy to have you on. It's a great vibe here. Coming to you from the GVC.
The GVC, my bill.
Let's go, champ. All right, guys. That's us. Peacing out. Have a good night, everyone.
Cheers.
Laters.